Welcome to Mental Wealth, the podcast to invest in your mind. Here I will help you make sense of your mind and behaviors, giving you the tools to have your best life. There is so much to share, so let's get into this episode and explore another great topic. Welcome to episode 13. And in this episode, we're going to talk more about our thoughts, where they come from, and what we can do about them. And I am delighted to say that I am joined by a very special guest, Jacqueline Carson. And Jacqueline and I hopefully can bring you some ideas, some thoughts, some ideas on our thoughts in this episode. So welcome, Jacqueline. Please tell everyone a little bit about you.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me. Yes. So I am a clinical hypnotherapist. I'm also a meditation teacher and I'm trained in other therapies as well. But my main business is hypnotherapy. And I work from the northeast of England. I see clients one-to-one in my clinic, but I also work with clients around the world on online, which is super amazing, the power of the internet now. I see clients for a range of different things, but I do tend to focus mainly on helping women with their using their mind, their subconscious mind, to improve their health, and that includes getting rid of addictions and things like that.
Lovely. So that's the reason why you're the greatest person to have share this space with me, so we can talk about the mind and our thoughts. So let's, first of all, give people a little bit more understanding of the conscious and subconscious mind. Because I think for me, it's always, if we understand it, we've got a chance of being able to change or make the changes. Because so often we're ending up thinking it's only us and we are the ones who are thinking like that. So shall we share with everyone a little, how would you generally describe the conscious and subconscious mind, Jacqueline?
Yeah, so it is obviously something I do explain to everybody that I work with, because not everybody does have an understanding. And, you know, lots of people do complain about having all of these random thoughts and, you know, programs, and kind of they do things automatically without even thinking about it, and feel that they don't have any control over that. So the difference between the two parts of the mind, certainly the conscious part of the mind is the bit that we, probably the bit that we're both using now when we're talking to each other. It's the thinking part of the mind. And it's the part that we use to rationalize things and to make decisions and to really think about what we're doing. Now, the subconscious part of the mind, which they say is around 95% of the mind, is that part where all of our automatic programs and all of our automatic thinking takes place. And so I usually demonstrate this, or explain it rather, to my clients that when you are first learning to drive, for example, understanding that clients have learned to drive, I check that with them first. But when you first start to learn to drive and you get in the car and you have a look around and you see everything in the car, and you know, the instructor tells you everything that you have to do, and you think, oh my word, I'm never going to remember all of this. And you're consciously thinking all the time, you know, steering, where your pedals, changing the gears, looking around you, you're having to think all of the time. But then after a while, after repeating the process, the behaviors, eventually that kind of shifts over into your subconscious mind. And so after you've been driving for a while, and when you've passed your test, you find that you can drive without even thinking. You get in the car, you don't have to consciously think about what you're going to do, because it's all recorded there in the subconscious. And it's like the brain kind of, for me, moves things over into the subconscious to free that thinking part of your mind up, so to do other things, really, other things that you have to think about. And it's an excellent way, I think, of the brain conserving that energy. So then we just go on automatic pilot when we're working from the subconscious.
Brilliant.
I don't know. Would you say the same thing? Is that your understanding of it?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, it's your conscious mind is your goal setter. So you decide, you think, what am I going to do today? Or what am I going to eat today? Or I want to go on that course, or I want to, whatever it is that you want to achieve. And then your subconscious mind, which is where your beliefs and your emotions and your decisions that you've made about yourself, along with lots of other things, is your goal getter. So for me, it's about that alignment between what you think you want to do and whether you believe that you can, and whether you've got the memories that are going to help you, or whether you've got the memories in there that are going to hold you back. And I think for us to understand the relationship between those things is so important. And I know for me, on my own journey, actually understanding that was like, oh, okay, I get it. Because we can be so hard on ourselves saying, I want to do this. And then it doesn't happen. And it's because of a memory, because of your values, because of your beliefs, whatever it is that's inside. So for me, it's that goal getter, goal setter. And I always like to kind of visualize it with an iceberg. A lot of people over the years have seen a little bit on the top that we can see above the water is your, obviously your conscious mind. And then the massive bit that's hidden underneath, as you said, 95% is your subconscious.
Yeah. And there is a school of thought as well, isn't there, that says that, and I read something the other day that says that your subconscious is also in your body as well. You know, there has been some research that suggests that, you know, it kind of, you know, I talk a lot about the relationship between the mind and the body and how it's intrinsically linked and it's bi-directional. You know, what you think about in your mind, you manifest in the body, and what goes on in the body makes itself known to the mind. But then there is, you know, some research that suggests that actually our subconscious mind sits in the body as well. And that there is some memory in there, which is really interesting. It's such a complex issue, but simple all at the same time.
I know.
It's quite hard to get your head around sometimes.
I know. I think that. I think sometimes some of the strategies that we need to have are so simple, and yet the complexity of the auto and how we can find ourselves thinking things about ourselves, about other people that aren't even true, that are connected to something that goes way back. It's so complex. And yet some of the strategies, which we can come on to talk about some of the strategies for managing your thoughts, particularly for today, they can be so simple. And I think that's the bit that I always find is most interesting for us all.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is all interconnected, isn't it? So, you know, we have these 70 odd thousand or whatever it is, random thoughts a day, but yet we're not in control of those thoughts. I would say probably, you know, 95% of the time, you know, they just kind of appear from nowhere, and like you say, they could be from memories from long ago. You know, you may have experienced something as a young child, and then you might see or feel or hear something that takes you back to that point, and you know, and you get that thought, and that thought might it might kind of cause an emotion, or it might be responsible for a belief. You know, you might have been told as a young child that you weren't good enough, and you know, that can manifest, as we know, in adulthood. And hearing those things over and over again as young people, and they're not our beliefs. You know, they're not our beliefs, they're not our thoughts, they're what other people have conditioned us with.
Yeah.
And so we grow up thinking that they're true. And they're not necessarily, you know, they're not ours. I don't know if you've experienced, you know, the same thing with your clients.
Definitely. I think that a lot are, like you say, shared. People without realize say things to us all, but particularly children, who believe everything that they hear. But I think the other thing that I notice a lot, and I did this for myself, was that some of the thoughts that we had and our behaviors and our feelings are attached to an old way of being that used to work. So it used to work to stay invisible, to not get told off, or it used to work to try and be the one who got heard in a family if there's lots of you, so you'd be quite loud. That used to work, but it doesn't necessarily work now as an adult. And I think that's the bit that I'm always interested in, is paying attention to behaviors, particularly, and thought patterns around stuff that's outdated, that you don't need to, you're an adult, you can do whatever you want now. Yeah. And you don't have to be defined by that.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that a lot with fears and phobias. You know, when people come, and it can be random. You know, I had a young person once who was terrified of birds. And it all went back to a time when he was very young, about 2 years old, when he was chased by, I think it was a goose or something, that was a big bird. he was chased and it bit him, you know, and so was really, really struggling to go anywhere near birds, even in the town centre, you know, where all the pigeons and things are. And how I explain it is that at that time, you know, when you have that particularly frightening event or traumatic event, you know, the brain is fantastic because it will remember everything about that event, even smells that you might not have taken any notice of, or music playing in the background or something. And so then when you smell that smell or you hear that music, the brain is on a high alert then. And it will send you all of these thoughts and things and tell you, you know, you've got to get away. You know, there's danger. Its job is to keep you alive, isn't it? So it will do everything it can and make you feel afraid, you know, so that you survive. Sure. But obviously, as you get older, that's, you know, that's a crazy thing, isn't it? Because you can't go around being terrified of birds everywhere you go. You know, so it's an outdated program. It's something that at the time served a really good purpose, but doesn't now anymore.
Yeah. I think so. And I think the other thing that springs to my mind when we're talking is how we manage this, because as you said, our minds hold on to everything for just in case. That's how we keep alive. Everything that's ever happened to us is stored. You know, that's why we don't burn our hand on the fire anymore, because we were either told, don't put your hand on the fire, it'll burn you, or you did and it burnt you. So whichever it is. So we need it in there. But I think one of the things I'm always asked is, okay, and I'm aware now that some of my thoughts I don't have to listen to, they're not true, they're somebody else's voice, or they're part of my past. How do I manage it? And I think just people get so cross with themselves, so frustrated that they've had this thought, or they feel, like you said, they've gone into their fear center because the brain has got an association. But it is just that pausing, isn't it, Jacqueline? It's that just noticing your thoughts, just being like, yeah. Oh, there's that thought, rather than grapple with it, fight with it, try and squish it down. It's there for a reason. Some of it makes total sense. Some of it is very random. But what sort of techniques do you use with your clients, Jacqueline, that helps them be able to do that pausing and taking a breath?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's lots of different techniques, but I mean, firstly, I do explain to them and help them to understand and accept that actually the mind is a tool, and it isn't you. It doesn't own you. You know, you are a being that needs to be in control of that mind. And I think once people accept that and understand that, you know, that this isn't really them and they can control their mind, that it is a tool, it makes it a little bit easier then to recognize that these thoughts, and sometimes these feelings and emotions that follow those thoughts, they don't have to listen to them. That they can step back and they can question them, you know, even simple things like just taking a moment without reacting, really stepping back, maybe counting to 10 and just asking yourself, is that true? Mm. Is that thought really true? Yeah. And if it is true, why is it true? Where has it come from? How do I know that it's true? And to challenge it. And examine it, you know. Another thing, or another method that I would use particularly is to help to teach them how to meditate or to do self-hypnosis. But I think meditation is a great way of being able to observe the mind and, you know, be a witness to the mind, a watcher of the mind, and to observe those thoughts. So to see them, as you've just said, to come in almost like passing cars and lorries on a road, but not to follow them and not to follow that story, just to know that they're there, but not to react to them. I think that those would be the two main things that I would teach initially in any event to get them to recognize that they aren't their thoughts. You know,
so important, isn't it? I mean, that is a mantra. I am not my thoughts. I'm everything I think does not have to be true. Mm-hmm. I can challenge. And I think it's so important, you know, for us to say that on this podcast. You know, my thing is what's the thing that you can take from this conversation today? And if it's that you're not, we don't have to believe everything. We're not our thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful, because if we think we are our thoughts and we take action on our thoughts, goodness knows what sort of situations we might get ourselves into. Knowing that that's normal to have the random thoughts, that we can't always feel like we know where they come from, but just to pause, I love that, and just to question, is it true? Is it really true? Where's this come from? What is this about? I think if all of us could do a little bit more of that, it might prevent or minimize some of the other things that we then do as a result of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think journaling is another good thing as well. It's like a practical thing, you know, that you can do to get some of those thoughts out of your head and on paper. It's almost like a tangible thing. And, you know, and not to do anything with them necessarily, but just to kind of get them out. You know, you may be able to go back on them at a later date and reflect on them if you wanted to, but you know it's a case of trying to reduce that overwhelm, isn't it? Totally. And that constant kind of racing going on, and sometimes the act of just getting them out of your head and on paper can help.
I like
sometimes
that. Sorry, go on. I was just going to say, I think the only thing to say there is without judgment. It's so important, isn't it, to be able to get thoughts out of your head. One exercise I sometimes make a suggestion around is to have two columns, what's in your control and one what's out of your control. And whatever your thoughts are for that day, whatever feels like it's stressy or overwhelming you, put them into one of the two columns, which is in your control, which is your out, but any of them without judgment. So important, isn't it?
Absolutely, it is, because I think we are our own hardest critic, aren't we? And, you know, and certainly that I know in my own life that can hold me back a little bit, because everything has got to be right or perfect. And none of us are. And, you know, I think we have to learn not to criticize ourselves and judge ourselves. I practice my own mantra every day, and it's not necessarily about judging me, but I often say to myself, just for today there will be no judgment. And it helps me when I'm driving you know, when I get in the car and you know, and I often say that to myself, and it does just help to kind of bring me back to, you know, we are all human at the end of the day, and we are all imperfect, and it's a, you know, we have to give ourselves a break.
I think,
and
so
not be too hard on ourselves.
Yeah, I think that is so critical, isn't it? Whether that's about your thoughts, whether that's about what you have or you haven't done, haven't managed to achieve, it's so important that we're just able to pause and just think today was a good day, be able to reflect on it like that, rather than be picking up that big stick that we so often beat ourselves with. To talk about, Jacqueline. There's so many things. I know. But the idea of this podcast is to give people that little short, sharp thing. So hopefully, you know, together we've been able to highlight some important parts of how we can manage this powerful piece of kit in our that lives in our heads or that is our whole bodies, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brilliant. So let's just have a little, see if we can just summarize what we've talked about today. What's been the most important one point for you, Jacqueline, for everyone?
I think helping people to, you know, to understand the difference, I think, between the conscious and the subconscious mind, and to know that it's normal for these automatic thoughts and automatic patterns, but there is a way to be able to get in there and to begin to take control of them, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that is the critical part of anything like this. If people are interested in helping themselves, it is to know that there is something that you can do, because it can feel overwhelming. You can feel like your thoughts are completely out of your control. And actually, it's knowing what are those small steps to be able to take something on.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. And, you know, the other thing I would highlight is just to ask that question, you know, when you do get that thought in your head, is it true? As simple as that. And then once you start breaking that down, you know, you might find that actually it's, you know, it takes the sting out of it, mm-hmm. really. And you can see it for what it really is.
I love that. Another question that I think is quite powerful is when you have that thought, ask who says. So whatever your thought is, so it might be, I'm not good enough. Who says? Because again, we've talked earlier about, is it somebody else? Is it somebody else's voice? Is it not even anything to do with you? And sometimes who says? So I love those two really powerful questions. Is it true? Is it really true? Or maybe who says? Who says whatever it is that you've thought? And actually, again, it might not be you. It might be an old part of you, or it could be someone else.
Yeah. And I think the judgment thing is really good. But also it's just reminded me that actually, you know, when you say that, you know, the who says, that it's also about not, you know, blaming anybody else either, and just letting that go too, you know, if it is, you know, if it's come from a parent or whatever, you know, just to kind of acknowledge that actually it might have come from there, but you know, I totally let that go and totally forgive that, because you've got to take responsibility for the now, haven't you? And moving things forward.
Brilliant. Such a powerful point, just to remember that, yes, it might be somebody else's voice, but we're not judging them. We're not blaming them, because there is no movement. There's no growth. There's nothing for us.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely. Oh, thank you, Jacqueline, so much for coming and sharing your wisdom with me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been
lovely. You're welcome. And all of your contact details are in the show notes. So if anybody wants to look up Jacqueline and have a look at her practice, then you've got everything there for you to check.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening and sharing in this episode of Mental Wealth. Remember, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcast. My last question to you is, what is the one small thing that you can take action on from this episode? Message me on Instagram or through our website with questions you'd like me to explore. You'll find the links in the show notes. I'll be back with more tools and tips to make sense of your mind in the next episode. In the meantime, be kind to yourself. Bye for now.